I am pleased to introduce Scott Conley to the Office Space podcast. Scott joined Colliers in 2009 and has developed a strong knowledge base of the Greater Toronto Area office markets, where he specializes in office leasing with a focus on tenant representation. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Dougal. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about Toronto in general terms. Can you give the audience a sense of the scale of the market, the type of industries that are there, and maybe from an historical perspective, where the growth has been?
Yeah, absolutely. So Toronto is Canada's largest city. So in terms of industry here, historically, it's been focused on like financial services, the legal industry, healthcare, you know, government, not a lot of government, but some. So we have a plethora of many different industries, but over the past, call it decade or so, the tech sector has obviously grown considerably, which has taken off in terms of their presence here downtown. But, you know, Toronto itself is Canada's largest city, like I mentioned, and, you know, it's a population very similar to Chicago. And then when you look at the commuting areas around Toronto, we're talking in and around, call it 8 million people or so. The city itself, 3-4 million, depending on where you want to define it. So there is a big commuting culture. And historically, you know, the size of our markets, again, really similar to Chicago pertaining to square footage. But, you know, I think that historically, like I mentioned, it would definitely be the financial hub of Canada. And, you know, we are, like I said, we're looking at significant growth in that tech sector over the last 5 to 10 years or so.
And is it organic growth? Is it Canadian-based companies or is it United States companies expanding up?
Great question. So I would say pre-COVID, there was a lot of local startups that experienced some significant growth, you know, taking a lot of the space, lots and lots of hiring. And since COVID, with that said, we've seen significantly more large US-based companies either buy local companies here or start setting up offices here in Toronto. And that trend has been happening even pre-COVID, but even more so since, you know, 2020 than we've ever seen before.
Okay. And is it considered a pretty safe city? And what about public transportation?
So safe in terms of crime?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's, again, compared to all of Canada, it might be considered, you know, there's a bit, probably more crime here than most other cities. However, when, you know, we do a lot of work with companies who are based all over large US-based cities, and we don't nearly have the same crime issue as any of those cities have on a macro scale. Obviously, you know, things happen here like they do everywhere, but it's really not the same as New York, Chicago, Atlanta, you know, you name any American city. Obviously, the big factor here, like gun control, is very, very prevalent here. We have public transit. The public transit system here is extremely safe. People aren't scared of taking public transit late at night. Again, I'm speaking very high level, but as a general sentiment, it's a very safe city that people take pride in the city here for sure.
Right. Well, Canadians are notoriously polite people, so it must permeate amongst the bad guys and girls. When you get robbed, they say, "Can I please take your wallet?" So let's start talking real estate. What sort of physical occupancy numbers are you seeing right now, and how have those trended?
So are you physical occupancy number in office towers in COVID?
Yes.
So it's a pretty tough question to answer. But what we're seeing is we're probably at, again, depends on what day of the week we're talking, but as a general sentiment, we're looking at 30-ish% occupancy of the buildings. With that said, if you're commuting in for the city via public transit or our municipal train system called the GO train from all the suburbs, you know, north, east, and west of here, like it's packed. The streets are busy during commuting hours. So people are here, I'd say Tuesday, Wednesday, and or Thursday, and it's much quieter on the Mondays and Fridays.
Okay. So those numbers align really, really well with Chicago, and what you're saying about the population is pretty similar. We've been seeing, I was expecting more of a bump just before the summer, so it wasn't really there, but certainly the neighborhoods are feeling the vibrancy, and it's still pretty quiet at night downtown. Does Toronto have a after work environment in the CBD, or is it going into more of the neighborhoods?
So it, again, good question. So our downtown, like when the central business district, which is our, which we call the financial core, the after work, you know, drinks, restaurants, it's taking place. However, by far the most busy area, full of nightclubs, restaurants, hotels, you know, it's close by to where our stadium is, the Toronto Blue Jays, where they play. So in terms of activity, that area is called the Downtown West, specifically in a street called King West. And if you go there any night of the week, it is packed. Now, bars are packed, restaurants, you name it. And that, to give you some context, that it's sort of the similar vibe as the West Loop in Chicago. But to, you know, in terms of the distance of the heart of King West to the heart of the financial core, you're talking about a mile, maybe a bit more. Like, so it's very close. So a lot of people who are working in the central business district would probably just, you know, walk or take a taxi or an Uber over to that area, which still isn't that far from the central business district.
Okay. How big of an office market is Toronto, and what are the general stats in terms of vacancy, average rental rates, and what you're seeing in terms of other concessions?
Yeah. So again, I hate saying this again, we're very similar to Chicago. It's actually very fascinating how similar we are as cities. I've done a lot of work in the Chicago area, you know, helping Second City with their space there. So I've come to Chicago a lot. And so in terms of the numbers, we're very similar. So our downtown office market's around 130 million square feet. We are, before COVID, there were a few large towers launched for development, which are now being finalized, specifically CIBC Square, which is one of our largest, that just finished, you know, earlier, you know, I think in the beginning of this year. There's some other ones as well, but that would be the biggest. In terms of vacancy rate, so pre-COVID, what's interesting about Toronto is pre-COVID, our vacancy downtown was under 2%. So, you know, it sort of fluttered between 1% and 2%, which once you take in, you know, the time to move, it was essentially at a 0% vacancy rate.
And that's where we're different in Chicago. We never got there.
I was just going to say that. So our vacancy rate was the lowest in North America. And like, depending on what part of the world you're looking at, we had the lowest vacancy. It was almost impossible to get an office space. Multiple offers, massive, massive deposits being given by tenants. The landlords would tell you a rate and it would go significantly over asking. It was a very competitive market. COVID hits. So under, you know, call it around 2% vacancy. Today, we're sitting around 10-ish percent. So
is that a total? Is that including the sublease?
That includes the sublease.
Okay.
The vacancy rate's around 7%. The availability is around 10.
Okay.
So vacancy at 7%, just over 7%. We're still considered a very tight market when you look at most large North American cities. However, the sentiment amongst tenants here in the city is that, you know, the vacancy rate's gone up considerably, which it has. So it's been a bit of a challenge for brokers here to, you know, ensure you educate your tenants that although it has gone up, it still is within a very normalized market vacancy rate and availability rate. So you were asking about, sorry, go ahead, Dougal. I know you were going to.
No, keep talking. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you asked about rates. So what's also interesting about rates is that we have found specifically in the central business district, rates haven't really been affected that much. So if you're looking at an average class A or triple A tower, rates can be between, in terms of a net rent, would be between $35 to $50 net, depending on the quality of the building. And what I would say is the biggest difference in rents are the areas where the downtown west, which is what I was talking about previously, where the brick and beam buildings are, and a lot of the smaller technology companies were. That particular node has been affected much more drastically than the central business district, where rates, gross rates, were in around the $60 mark there. And now they're closer to the high 40s, low 50s.
Okay.
So the big difference in terms of inducements in the central business district is, although rates haven't really been affected, the main difference is that the inducement packages have been increased drastically. So pre-COVID, there was very little, if any, allowance, very little, if any, free rent. And though both of those variables have changed drastically. So we're seeing much larger inducement packages, you know, 6-12 months free rent on a 5-year deal, allowance packages, depending on the quality of the space, but we are getting landlords to, you know, to give much larger allowance packages than we've ever seen before. And the other variable is the term. Landlords pre-COVID were very reluctant to do any deals between, you know, they were only doing 5-year, 10-year deals. Now, a lot of landlords, regardless of the location, they would consider 2-3-year deals all the time.
Okay. And what is it going to cost you to build out traditional, well, nothing's traditional anymore, new space?
So the cost of construction has gone up, I'm sure, as it is everywhere. So it depends on who you're working with. There's actually a really interesting startup here in Toronto called ClearSpace. They will do guaranteed pricing in and around $100 to $110 a square foot, including furniture. Again, so they only work with certain tenants, and their program only works with certain groups. But if you're looking at doing a much more intense design process with really unique features and quality of materials, you're looking between $160 to $200 a foot.
Yeah. So the landlords that are willing to do shorter term deals, 2 to 3 years, are those spec suites, second gen spaces with little to no TI?
Exactly. So what a lot of landlords are doing are building out spaces that, you know, need just a bit of a facelift. They're furnishing those spaces, and then they are leasing those spaces out for short terms. Some landlords are even doing the full turnkey and spending, you know, hiring a group like ClearSpace to build out a space at around $100 a square foot. Then they would rent those out, I don't know, call it for a year to 3 years. I just transacted with a landlord right in the heart of the financial core, doing this exact same model, whereby my tenant took, you know, 14,000 square foot floor plate. The landlord spent around $110 building it out. We signed a 2-year deal. You know, rates were between 40 and 42 net based on a 2-year term. And the tenant didn't have to put any capital expenditure in whatsoever. And that type of transaction is becoming more common by the week.
Okay. And are you all experiencing any of the supply chain issues and labor issues that are delaying construction?
Absolutely. So, you know, to give you an example, the deal that I just spoke about, it took 6 months to get the furniture. Like by the day that we ordered furniture, it was 6 months until it was delivered and installed. So that's just one example. So yes, we are experiencing that all the time.
Okay. And from a labor perspective, you know, here in the United States, there's 2 job openings for every applicant. Now, a lot of that is, you know, geared on the kind of the blue collar side. But the bottom line is there's still a lot of opportunity for people. Unemployment's low. What are you experiencing in Toronto?
We are experiencing the exact same thing with, you know, I think it's safe to say there's a looming, I don't know about Chicago, but in Toronto here, it seems as though there's a looming recession here where something could be changing soon. Like just this week, some of our largest technology companies just went through some significant layoffs. You know, I'm talking like that happened 6 days ago. And even large companies like Salesforce, there's rumors have it that which the Salesforce Toronto office, just to give you context, is their second largest office outside of San Francisco. Rumor has it that they're a hiring freeze at the Salesforce Toronto office. So, you know, historically, these large companies, Facebook, Meta, Shopify, they were hiring a plethora of employees. You know, is that going to continue? Hopefully, but I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, we're starting to see the same thing. I think there's going to be more sublease space coming on the market from some of the faster growing tech companies that were taking more space on the come for that potential growth. So that could be affecting the market moving forward potentially. So given the ability or the need really for companies to have flexible options, we're seeing flex workspaces becoming more and more important. It's mostly the same players that we're seeing. What are you experiencing in Toronto in regards to the Industrious, the WeWorks of the world?
So I love talking about co-working because it's a fascinating industry. And so pre-COVID, co-working was growing so quickly. Like every large block of space had an offer on it from either Spaces, you know, a Regus model, WeWork, you name it. COVID hits, all of those stop. WeWork closed down a few centers, Spaces closed down a few centers. It was not pretty during COVID for co-working. And I probably transact, just to give you some context, I probably do anywhere between 20 and 40 co-working deals a year. So I'm talking like 5 to 50 people. So a big range. So the pricing for co-working pre-COVID was in and around, again, very dependent on the location and the quality of the center, but between $700 to $1,000, maybe $950 per person per month. COVID hits, and I transacted multiple co-working deals between $400 and $500 per person per month. Now, co-working has had an absolute, it's taken off again, as could be expected, given the short-term, completely flexible options. And pricing is now exactly back to where it was, and if not higher in certain instances. I will say, though, that there's been way less new centers opening. That's one big change, is that there has been very few new deals. Industrious actually just opened or just announced that they will be opening their first center in Toronto in the old WeWork space, which was up, it's in our Midtown market at Yonge and Bloor. So we actually don't have Industrious. They've just entered our market here.
Okay.
But WeWork, Spaces, Regus would be some of our largest providers here.
Got
and it. Then we have a plethora of like smaller operators as well, who are quite, you know, Workplace One, for example, they're a phenomenal provider. And, you know, they compete on a localized level here in Toronto.
Okay. I'm interested to see, so we've got a group here called Convene. I don't know if you have them there.
Very familiar with them. We don't have them here in Toronto.
And, you know, they're going after a large convention meeting groups. I mean, they have traditional co-working space, but they've got some of the biggest meeting spaces now at Willis Tower. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out under the theory that more and more people are going to be coming back to the spaces to collaborate, have meetings and things like that. I think it's probably a pretty good bet that they'll book pretty well. So we'll see how that plays.
Totally agree.
Yeah. So as we're wrapping things up here, what are your predictions and what are your thoughts looking forward to the next 6 months here and then beyond?
So, you know, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but I don't disagree with you that I do think in Toronto, we are going to be seeing significantly more large subleases coming to market over the next, you know, 3 to 6 months. Things have slowed down drastically here, even in over the last 2 months in terms of demand, deal velocity. So I think that there's always going to be tenants taking space, but it's going to be a long battle and a patient battle to ensure we get back to where we once were. I don't think there's going to be the deals, like the quote unquote deals that were once being done in the heart of COVID, where you could steal a sublease for, you know, pennies on the dollar. I don't think that's going to take place as much anymore. I think, you know, those desperate landlords or sublandlords are being a bit less desperate and, you know, being patient. But I don't think it's going to be a very busy remainder of the year in terms of deal velocity here in the city.
Well, you can get out to Cottage Country and enjoy the summer at least.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks for your time. Always appreciate your insights in the Toronto market. You do a great job out there, and we'll be talking again soon.
Thanks very much, Dougal. I appreciate your time today.
All right. Take care.
But it's your holy loving eyes on me.
I got a history of questions, the truth I can only feel. What matters to me the most is what is there and what is real. We could start by shaking each other or talk about something else. And I know in the end we could get to the point and we could go get some rest. And be good,
be good,
be kind,
be truthful and be free. Keep your holy love.